The circuit-riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
We remember those who paid the ultimate price. I'd like to thank you for spending your Memorial Day evening here with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers. This is the Living by the Sword radio program, where we break through the blockade of news and information by shortwave radio, transmitting to the USA, all the islands of the Caribbean, most of Mexico and Canada, and all of Central and South America. I believe even the penguins of the Antarctic Peninsula listen to Living by the Sword. Maybe that's wishful thinking on my part. We have got a jam-packed show in store for you tonight. I intend to weigh in on the late-night emergency ousting of Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, which is really an even bigger rhino counterattack than the debt ceiling crisis or the Ukraine campaign, the counteroffensive. Of course, we'll look at the Bible, which today more than ever is reflecting current events. And as always, we will mix it up with some rock and roll. Tonight's theme band is Annie Lennox and the Eurythmics. Annie, what an icon of tough, thin 80s chicks. Later on, I'll play their little-known tune, Missionary Man, kind of a theme song of mine. But right now, I ask you, did Ken Paxton lie? Did the Rhino Republicans lie about him? Would I lie to you?
We'll be right back.
Happy Memorial Day from Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers. This is a beautiful day where we remember the dead, those who died in battle, so that we can be out today practicing sun safety with our well-stocked cooler and well-stoked barbecue, and I hope you do all that. But while you're at it, would you thank a veteran? Would you tell them thank you for their service? The truth is, the veterans are so accustomed to unthankfulness that they get a little bit testy when people thank them. They'll tell you, Memorial Day is for the dead, Veterans Day is for remembrance of the living. So you could just start off with that. Tell them, hey, I know Veterans Day is for the surviving veterans, but as we remember the fallen today, I just want to thank you for your service. Today on our GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, we're going to look at what military language the Lord Jesus used to tell about what the kingdom of heaven is like and what we as warriors of God are supposed to be like. Let's read it. It's in Matthew 12 and the 29th verse. Jesus is talking about casting out devils, and he says here in verse 29, or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Did you know that part of the kingdom of God is taking botin, taking booty, taking the spoils of war out of the hand of the strong, out of the hand of the enemy? As soldiers of the Lord, this is not part of what we do. This is what we do. We release the prisoners out of the hand of the strong and out of the hand of the oppressor. And we take from the giants their vineyards and olive yards and big houses and great lands, just like Joshua did. Jesus is talking here about a victory that's real and tangible, not some ethereal victory, not some imaginary victory where we get beat senseless and then imagine ourselves somehow as the victors. This is about addressing the spiritual forces so that we can have victory in the natural realm. My young students come in to learn Christian karate on how they can defeat the wicked that come against them in their life. They think they're going to be taught how to punch and kick, and they are, but boy were they surprised when I taught them that their enemy, the sicarios, the drug dealers, the cartel members, are taken away to camps where they murder on command or die a martyr's death. Then the living are forced to eat the flesh of the dead. This is how the soldiers are made, through devil worship. And Jesus addresses this in verse 28, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. So I told my young students, they do this to invite devils inside of themselves, but we cast them out by the Spirit of God in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is how, warriors of the cross, we bind the strong man, and this is how we spoil his house. Only yesterday was the Feast of Pentecost. If you have not experienced the fullness of it, do so. The Palestinians today, who are called in their own Arabic language Philistinia, were dancing in the streets with Turkish flags wrapped around their shoulders, as if the world needed another indication that Recep Erdogan's presidential victory in Turkey is a victory for communism worldwide. Turkey is an oddity as an Islamic Republic, yet a NATO member. And like the Islamic Republic of Iran, there are a number of citizens of that nation that are not at all Islamic, that are very serious about their Christianity. Real Christians, that is, not like these Coptic Christians of Lebanon and other places, which are basically Roman Catholic, or the very strong Roman Catholic Church, which also has a presence there. Of course, I published here on Living by the Sword that there was a massacre of Christians just days before the fateful earthquake of 2023. A strong indication that spiritual battle is at the root of some of these events, and that it's not just space-based weapons and seismic weapons, that we're also dealing with the wrath of God, which I'll tell you in 2023 is a growth industry. We find this description of Erdogan's victory party and victory speech in BBC.com. Reading from that, Palestinians from Jordan wrapped Turkish flags around their shoulders, and a Tunisian visitor, Ala Nassar, said Mr. Erdogan had not just made improvements to his own country, he is also supporting Arabs and the Muslim world. For all the celebrations, the idea of unity in this polarized country seems farther away than ever. Since a failed coup in 2016, Mr. Erdogan has abolished the post of prime minister and amassed extensive powers which his opponent had pledged to roll back. Here's why Turkey again features in Pastor Sam's Latin America War Report and Migrant Invasion News. Because the accusation of a stolen election of a completely militarized government against free elections is right here. The accusation's right here in the BBC article. The subtitle is Recep Tayyip Erdogan's supporters celebrated well into the night after Turkey's longtime president secured another 5 years in power. Further on, the author opines, but his call for unity sounded hollow as he ridiculed his opponent, Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, I hope I get that right, he's probably the good guy in this, and took aim at a jailed Kurdish leader and pro-LGBT policies. The opposition leader did not explicitly concede victory. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like Donald Trump? Does it sound like many elections in Latin America? There's more. The article continued. Complaining of, quote, the most unfair election in recent years, unquote, Mr. Kılıçdaroğlu said the president's political party had mobilized all the means of the state against him. This is why I am broadcasting from Mexico's cartel country, because of the weaponization of law enforcement, electoral authorities in the United States, and because there is no freedom for a journalist, for a preacher, or for a supporter, even a former supporter of Donald John Trump. The president of Mexico, Andrés Manuel, is working hard to deconstruct the weaponized INE, Instituto Nacional Electoral, the electoral authority that maintains voter ID, biometric identity cards, and runs elections. And it is so corrupt that the president is almost to the end of his 6-year term, and it's still up in the air whether Mexico will have a free election. The contenders for Mexico's presidential election have hit the campaign trail, and Claudia Sheinbaum, the head of the Mexico City government, is one of the main ones who would like to represent Morena in 2024. In this early campaign appearance, she had something very interesting to say. That she's not friends with Hillary Clinton. That she does not know Hillary Clinton. That they don't talk. She doesn't talk to Hillary Clinton. Interesting, because Hillary is a good friend of the other Madame Presidentes, ex-Brazilian President Dilma Rousseff, who's now heading the Chinese, basically, World Bank, Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, now the Vice President of Argentina and twice President herself, and the ex-President of Chile, Michelle Bachelet. All of them are very close to Hillary Clinton. The lady president of Peru, Dina Boluarte, who, according to current indications, I believe to be legitimate, weighed in on this and said that she did like Hillary Clinton and that they were friends. And so thus began the spat between the Mexican presidential candidates and even the Mexican president himself with Dina Boluarte. It actually began a little bit earlier because she and her Congress declared President Andrés Manuel of Mexico persona non grata in Peru, which means he's not allowed to set foot on Peruvian soil. I consider Andrés Manuel the leader of the free world, but he does have a tendency to stand up for leftist candidates until they have just absolutely rolled around the pig pen so many times that they're known as international criminals. And sometimes even then, when Joe Biden was elected president, we say elected, when he declared himself to be president, along with the accolades of the corrupt U.S. establishment, Andrés Manuel came out and said, I don't know Joe Biden. He's not my friend. He did not invite me to the inauguration. So that's how deep of a rift they had when Joe Biden took the presidency. So it's interesting that Claudia Sheinbaum would come out early on in her campaign. She's the chosen candidate that AMLO is supporting. He's got banners all over the U.S. that says, it's Claudia, it's Claudia. I think it quite interesting that Claudia Sheinbaum decided to kick off her campaign by distancing herself from the traitor and criminal Hillary Clinton, who's had such a negative effect not only on the United States, but on so much of Latin America as well. We'll have more news to come, but I gotta tell you that there are some things that I'm holding back this week. We just had the Pentecost Festival. It's just ending right now as this transmission's going out. There is a lot of conflict in every area. There have been so many gunshots near the Rancho. I can't even tell you the danger and the amount of gunfire that has happened very, very close to where I live. There are ongoing operations from numerous agencies, and the Lord has His ongoing operations. I just believe it's a season of a mighty deliverance, even though we're seeing some strategic defeats and some toppling of ancient fortifications of goodness and righteousness on our side. Of course, there's corruption there now. So as the thunder rumbles and this next round of conflicts is getting ready to kick off, let's go back to the Eurythmics. Here comes the rain again.
Thank you.
This is Pastor Sam with your GospelGunslingers.com Bible Verse of the Day. If you're a regular listener, you probably know that I broadcast from Latin America, and I thank you for taking a moment to the Lord's servant in exile as we take a look at the rise of Antichrist. We're in the book of Daniel in the 8th chapter, and in the 25th verse, it says that Antichrist, as he rises, by peace shall destroy many. And this is what's happening in Latin America. Nation after nation has been overtaken by communism, and it's been done without firing a shot. This is the most amazing invasion. If it were not prophesied over 20 centuries before the fact, it would be too amazing to even believe. But here it is in the Bible that many nations would fall without a single shot being fired. By peace shall destroy many. This is talking about the rise of Antichrist, and in case you don't know where the so-called migrant hordes are coming from, it's from all these nations in South America, Latin America, which have been taken over by communism. Liberation theology was invented in Venezuela. The Jesuit general, or Black Pope today, is Arturo Sosa, a Venezuelan. The visible or white pope, the pope of record, is for the first time out of the Jesuit order. He's an Argentine by birth of Italian ancestry and perhaps Jewish ancestry as well. Such is common in the nation of Argentina. This is, of course, Pope Francis Bergoglio, Jorge Bergoglio birth name. And that is who's visibly at the helm of the revived Roman Empire. The same empire whose birth is described here in Daniel 8:22. Now that being broken, that is that horn, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. This is the Greco-Roman Empire post-Alexander the Great. And then verse 23 says, and in the latter time of their kingdom. This tells of the resurgence of Rome in the last days. When the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance, that is Antichrist, and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And here's your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, Daniel 8:24. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Due to the idols' feet of clay, the Antichrist's global dominion will never be complete. We do, however, see the destruction of the two great Protestant world powers, the mighty and the holy people. That is Great Britain and the United States, which was founded by the holy, by Puritan pilgrims. There's a playlist called Good Preaching on the Gospel Gunslingers YouTube, and there you will find the United States in Britain in Bible prophecy. With the coronation of King Charles, we now see heathens at the helm of both of these great nations.
Some of them want to get used by wanted. Young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, must be expert horsemen, willing to risk death daily. Orphans preferred. That was the text of the old Pony Express ad, pasted to signposts in St. Joseph, Missouri. Such were the pioneers that made our nation great, from sea to shining sea. Today, also, God is looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few pistol-packing mamas. And I invite you to be among that number, to support your local gunfighter, to help us to broadcast. I want to be your pastor, and I want to be your missionary. Send me a prayer request. Send me a letter. Send me a dollar. You can also do it online at gospelgunslingers.com. Tell me your thoughts that you would like broadcast on the airwaves all the way to Antarctica. My mailing address is Pastor Sam Honnold, H-O-N-N-O-L-D, 7107 South Yale Avenue, number 434, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74136, USA. Let's be brothers in arms. I covet your friendship. Let's be fellow soldiers struggling for our free hemisphere. I cannot be out here on the cutting edge without you. I'm a refugee. I have left all. I am on the front lines, and like the United States military, for every soldier out shooting his gun, even a soldier who's not elite, even a soldier who's not on the cutting edge, have 17 soldiers behind him, cooking, loading trucks, driving trucks, flying planes, fueling vehicles. The apostle writes of the support structure in the Lord's army when he says, "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges," in 1 Corinthians 9:7. The apostle is stating that the soldier on the front lines needs his brothers and sisters behind him. Would you do that for your brother Sam? Would you help me to stay on the air? Would you write out an envelope, write me a note, put in a few colones or quetzales, some Mexican or Argentine pesos or any of the pesos of the world? Or send me some American dollars while they're still worth something. Someday, very soon, they won't be. But above all, I want your inscription. I want your enlistment. I want you to take up the sword. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and take up the sword. Uncle Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers want you. Orphans Preferred. For the ships of Chittim shall come against him, that is, come against Antichrist. This is a verse that we have touched upon in prior teachings, but it is today's GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, Daniel 11:30. We're still in the passage that was narrated by the angel Gabriel, and I would challenge you to consider or even to disprove that this pertains to current events. This is Daniel 11:30. "For the ships of Chittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the Holy Covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant." I and the Gospel Gunslingers talk a lot about making alliances and looking for friends and seeking support. Isn't it interesting that here the Antichrist does the same when he's faced with this maritime power? Now, you don't have to believe everything that Herbert W. Armstrong preached. I certainly don't. I certainly don't believe that the Temple of God is in Edmond, Oklahoma, or that Gerald Fleury is that prophet, as he claims to be. Nevertheless, Herbert Armstrong wrote about all these nations and all these passages, and we're talking going back to the 1950s. This was someone who was born in 1892 from Des Moines, Iowa, right? He can't be all bad. The teaching of his movement is clear that Chittim here is China. And I believe the teachings of this movement go directly back to the man himself, and we're talking in the 1950s and 1960s. It wasn't until the very late 70s that U.S. President and traitor Jimmy Carter opened the door to a backward China where they were plowing rice fields with musk oxen and water buffaloes, because not only did they not have industrialization, there was not hardly a tractor even to be seen. And when China was that backward and that agrarian and that rural, I believe Herbert Armstrong prophesied that they would be this vast maritime power that would even threaten the Antichrist himself. Chittim is referenced not only by Daniel, but by all three other major prophets, and occurs in Numbers 24:24, the prophecy of Balaam. Cryptic Bible passages that by human effort and wisdom may prove to be indecipherable. Nevertheless, the Lord has something to say. Do you know that every year China lays down hulls equivalent to the entire French Navy? The entire Navy of France, a modern nation, is constructed by China and added to her flotilla every single year. Maybe in these last days the tables will turn and it's not the Christian who finds himself in hot water, but Antichrist. Who's the missionary man, Annie? Were you talking about me? Were you talking about Dolph Lundgren's movie, Missionary Man, where he reads the King James Bible with his reading glasses while drinking tequila straight? No salt, no lime. Hey, that's worth a view. Look that up and try to catch that flick if you can. Annie's video is so awesome. This was from 1986, and it was directed by Willie Smacks, who also directed Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer video. Some of the same stop motion is in effect, but Peter Gabriel could not equal Annie Lennox's leather bodysuit. It was something to see. And unlike the gender-bending stars of today, she was certainly all woman. She was coming up against some stereotypes and some glass ceilings, and that's part of what was always cool about Annie. Harry Brandt of Interview Magazine writes, "Over the years, Lennox has been solely responsible for the famed Lennox look, styling herself and creating the concepts for her videos, performances, and record covers from the ground up. Her cropped hair, light skin, and tough look always reminded me of Sly Stallone's ex-wife, Bridget Nielsen. You may remember her from Conan the Barbarian's Red Sonja with Arnold Schwarzenegger, or perhaps from Eddie Murphy's Beverly Hills Cop 2, where she played the, quote, 6-foot blonde who ran an AMT 44 auto mag pistol in her assassinations. Bridget Nielsen was actually a good bit over 6 feet. I think 6'2 and some change, if my memory serves me correctly. Annie Lennox stands only 5'8" tall, but she noted that if she wears heels, she's taller than everyone in the room, and her daughter, which makes her uncomfortable, she said. But then she commented, "My daughters are even taller than I am, and they just don't care." We gospel gunslingers love and we encourage pistol-packing mamas, and so I think it's really cool what Annie Lennox and others like her did for the femininity in the 80s, moving it forward a little bit to more militaristically. All right, the Eurythmics is a duo, so I have to mention Dave Stewart, and he always looked a little milquetoast in the videos despite all the style that the 80s had to offer. I just thought that the flowing collars and Liberace looks were so much cooler on Prince and the Revolution, and so much more macho on him, even though he was very small of stature. I think that Dave Stewart's real genius was musical. He wrote a lot of lyrics, he struck a lot of scores, he played numerous different instruments and arranged for all of them. Moving into the new millennium, his image became a lot more macho. I would go as far as to say he was as confident in his masculinity as Annie was. So thanks, Dave, for all those stunning scores and groovy beats. But I have to say that the show was stolen in Missionary Man by backing vocalist Joanice Jameson. From Baltimore, she's lived in France since 1980, collaborated not only with American artists, but with many French artists, and topped the charts there as well, as we're talking about France in other news today. All right, we've had enough levity, as the gunnery sergeant said, knock it off, let's get back to the Bible. Martial artists traditionally get a little bit uncomfortable when we talk about disarming, taking away weapons, especially modern weapons, firearms, taking them away from the bad guy. For that, we lead into the subject gently, but we do not apologize for it, and we're not ashamed of it, and neither was the Lord Jesus. Let's look at our GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day for today, Luke 11:21-22. Earlier in the week, we looked at Matthew 12:28-29, but here in the book of Luke, the Lord's language is even more militaristic with the taking of spoils in this invasion. I'm going to start in verse 20. "But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you." Do you know this is how we take prey in the kingdom of God? As we cast the devil out, and then the territory, whether it's a human being or resources or whatever it was that devil was sitting on, well, we take that for ourselves in the kingdom, for our God. Verse 21, "When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace." Now remember, this strong man is the bad guy. That's the devil that we have to bind. Verse 22, "But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, and overcome him. He taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. Do you know what David did after he slew Goliath? He kept his head with him when he went to see Saul, but he put the armor in his tent. You see, the Lord Jesus is talking about something that David had done by the Holy Ghost of God centuries before. He killed that giant, and he took away his armor. And then, as we've studied before, David bore the giant's sword when he was a fugitive in the wilderness. People of God, do not believe that the taking of spoil is the devil's territory. Even in the USA, we have asset seizure laws, and some of those have been used against good people and innocent people. But the fact is, any goods used in criminal activity can be seized. And this concept comes from the Bible. People have rights, their goods are secure, but when they come flying at us, they are all forfeit. First of all, their own safety and the sanctity of their physical well-being is forfeit. They may lose their life. And beyond that, their spoil will be taken, and it will be utilized for the glory of God and for His kingdom and for our advancement. Faced in Numbers 14 with the cowardice of their countrymen, Joshua and Caleb respond in verse 9, "Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us." People of God, arise to the battle and arise to the spoil. The Lord has given us all the earth. Today also the wicked will be our bread.
Watching angels celebrating. Good. into an empty room. Suddenly my heart goes boom. It's an orchestra of angels. They're playing with my heart, yeah. Na 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 na.
I will commit thy government into his hand, says the prophet Isaiah in the word of the Lord. And while he's talking about some politicians, at this point in chapter 22, he opens into a messianic prophecy. And if you don't think so, the Lord Jesus refers to this directly in Revelation 3 and 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. The Lord Jesus speaks that of himself and promises to give his authority to his children, and that we will sit with him on his throne as he sits with his Father on his throne. Let's read your gospelgunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, Isaiah 22:22. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, of the Messiah, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. Do you know that the Lord gave us authority to bind things in earth that will be bound in heaven, and bind things in heaven that will be bound on earth? Don't let anyone deceive you that this authority is given to another other than the Lord Jesus, and through him to every believer. On the shield of the Vatican City today, that seat of Antichrist, which is carried on for generations in resisting and oppressing the Lord's true church, they have two huge crossed keys. And it is a reference to this verse. They say that the Pope has the keys of David, that he has the keys of death and hell, that he wears three crowns to rule in heaven, in the earth, and under the earth, that is, in hell. Oh no, the popes will not rule in hell. They will be locked up there just like everybody else. And the governments do not rule here in the here and now. This is what this verse is about. I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. The Lord is going to unite his church globally. Those natural sons of Abraham will have their blind eyes open. They've had weak eyes like Leah, the weak-eyed elder sister, but they will look on him whom they have pierced and understand that here again, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God, and he shall reign forever and ever. The governments of this world are laid on the shoulders of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has laid them on our shoulders. It is our responsibility to take all power in the terrestrial realm by faith in the name of the Lord Jesus. Rise up to the prey. Rise up and do it in Jesus' name. Before that last Bible verse was Dave and Annie's only single to top the UK charts at number one, There Must Be an Angel Playing with My Heart. Have you ever had an angel play with your heart? Well, don't wrestle one. If you wrestle one, then all bets are off. They may tinker with those sorts of things. I'll tell you from experience, they do. Especially if your solitude is a point of pride for you, as it was for me. Annie showed up in the video with flowing red locks, and boy, she was a stunner. All her appearances, cropped and bleached, were certainly cool, but man, she was just stunning in the babage with those long flowing red locks. In the video, Dave also took his Liberace theme to a new level and played Louis XIII. It was pretty cool, actually, I gotta say. Momentarily, we will go out with one more Eurythmics tune, Walking on Broken Glass. It's actually an Annie single. When she went solo in 1992, she cast the Diva album. And this was a big hit from that 92 album, but the video is in a very similar vein. This time, the love interest is John Malkovich. How cool is that? I really liked him alongside Bruce Willis in the Red series. Out here on the cutting edge, we quote John Malkovich's character from time to time. You smell like Washington, as the spies just continue to come out of the woodwork after us. And he also memorably wears a Turkish headdress in that, which is where we started our news reports today. She says, living in an empty room with all the windows smashed. Hey, if Herbert Armstrong, as odd as he was, can prophesy, why can't Annie prophesy a little bit too? She said, take me from the wreckage, save me from the blast. I really feel like this tune tells a lot about where the world is today. Our great nations are smashed. So in just a couple minutes, we will go out with that really cool tune from 1992. Hey, if you're listening out there, will you please, please send me a message? Will you go to WRMI.net and let the station know that you're listening? Would you go to GospelGunslingers.com while I still have it? My domain is back up for renewal, which means I have to pay the VIG, pay the annual fee. It's always a challenge for me to do that. Aside from the fact that the government could come in and seize my domain name at any time. How's that for misplaced asset seizure proceedings? I'd like to have mirrors up all around the world, and I will do that if you help me. But whether you sow a dollar or not, whether you kick a buck to me or not, please send me a message. Let me know. Give me a prayer request. We do pray for the sick. We help people out. We stand with them in prayer. And it would be my honor to do that for you. I want to be your pastor and your missionary as I'm out here on the cutting edge in the dusty desert. Right now, there's a button or two on GospelGunslingers.com where you can go to the archive and download all of these shows. You can own for free the record of these doctrines that I've laid out for you, the trail through the Bible that the Gospel Gunslingers have blazed. Save for posterity, the Pilgrim and the Puritan beliefs that made America great and will shortly conquer the world, whether you get in on that or not. I hope you do. Listen, I've only got a minute left for my no-holds-barred final commentary session, and I really want to tell you all about Ken Paxton and why he's so important. Now that he's been impeached by the Texas State House, maybe he will form a Texas government in opposition. Do you know he was one of the key people that spoke of Texas secession, that spoke of declaring Donald Trump president? He was one of the few, the only, maybe, attorney general that stood up for Trump and stated that the election was stolen from him and took a case to the Supreme Court to try to get that election overturned. Of course, the court itself had already been packed with turncoats. Thank you, Ted Cruz, once again. Cruz is actually standing with Ken Paxton this time around. Ken Paxton's political persecution by rhinos is no different from what happened to Cal Kelly in Oklahoma, the banking chief brought into the cabinet by Donald Trump in Washington, along with Ryan Zinke from Montana, who did a great job as Secretary of the Interior before he was forced out. His time in office was running a constant gauntlet of attacks from left and right alike. Ryan Zinke, a tough Navy SEAL, is now Montana's lone congressman. Maybe Ken Paxton will be the president of the reborn Republic of Texas, or at least lead Texas's government in exile.
You were the sweetest thing
The circuit riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.